glad to be with you tonight. We are grateful for God's mercy for us that allow us to be together. And we do honor our God for his mercies this day and for the privilege of remembering Mom this day. We're glad also. I want to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles, please, with me to the Gospels this evening. We're going to start in Luke chapter 22. And the Lord willing, if you'd like, you may keep your place there. We want to come back to that portion. But we begin at Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. I'd like for us tonight to look at some scripture that is familiar from the Gospels. As we think about Peter's denial, and then looking at that, I trust tonight the Lord would allow us to learn some lessons from Peter's denial that are very, I believe, well-known and yet also very practical in our lives as believers, things that we, I trust, would all profit from. In my own life, I trust the lessons that we look at tonight would be brought home in power by the Holy Spirit as I would seek to live in this world. Luke chapter 22, and please look with me at verses 31 through 34, and we'll be looking again at Luke 22 later, so you may want to just mark that, keep your place. We'll be coming back to it. We'll be looking also in Mark chapter 14, God willing. Luke 22, again, beginning at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Of course, those words announce what would be Peter's sin, Peter's fall in denying the Lord Jesus. We want to look at that story tonight, at those portions of the Gospels that speak of that. And as we do, may our God grant his blessing to his word. Let's just pray together, please, for that purpose. Father, we're thankful that we can come as your people before you in the worthy name of your dear Son. And as we do, I ask, Father, for your Spirit's blessing, that he might take the word and own it to the good of our souls. Father, that we, as we read of what happened to our brother Peter, things that are familiar, and Father, we might be challenged and stirred as your people to cling the more closely to our dear Savior. Father, we ask it in his worthy name. Amen. So we see these words of our Lord in Luke 22. You need not turn there, but I'd also like to read the words of our Lord that are found in John 13. Certainly, if you'd like, you're welcome to. But our Lord spoke to Peter on that night in which he was betrayed, and he spoke these things that we've read in Luke 22 and also in John 13, verse 36 through 38, we read, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Of course, those words very much parallel to what we see in Luke chapter 22, which we read, verses 31 through 34. We see here Peter as he speaks to the Lord in that time right before our Lord being betrayed and as well arrested. Peter has anticipations really of, if you will, very gloriously giving himself in death in martyrdom, if you will, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as our Lord so clearly announces in his prediction of Peter's denial, Peter is not going to do that. Instead, Peter is going to deny the Lord. He's going to very grievously do so. He's going to deny him three times. As the Lord Jesus announced that, I think it's significant that you and I could look at these words, look at the other elements of the Gospels that speak of this, and I trust learn some lessons that would be helpful to us. Peter is one of the more notable of Christ's disciples, his apostles. We remember his calling, how as a fisherman, the Lord Jesus used Peter's boat as a venue, a setting for teaching by the Sea of Galilee. So that the crowd wouldn't throng him, he had Peter to launch out a little bit with his boat, and he used that as a pulpit, if you will. He used that as a platform for ministry and teaching those who gathered to hear him. And you remember, after he'd finished that teaching session, he told Peter to cast out, launch out his nets, expect the draft of fish. Peter was skeptical, but he obeyed. God did that. God gave a great haul of fish for Peter, and Peter wound up saying to the Lord Jesus, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And the Lord Jesus told him, Peter, don't fear. From here on, you'll catch men. You'll take them alive. And that was Peter's calling. He became a fisher of men by the Lord's calling. And as a disciple of Christ, he became one whom we commonly speak of as among the inner circle. We recognize that he, with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were among the three that the Lord Jesus pulled aside for private moments. At the raising of Jairus' daughter, it was Peter who, along with James and John, saw that, witnessed that event. The other disciples were left aside. The crowd was left aside, but they witnessed that miracle. When our Lord Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was these three, Peter among them, whom he called to go and to be witness of the glory that was his as he was transfigured before them. As Moses and Elijah came and discussed with him his exodus, which he had accomplished in Jerusalem, Peter was among them. When the Lord Jesus went to pray in the garden, Peter as well, along with James and John, were called to go in as they witnessed the Lord Jesus at a distance, but they were called to watch and pray with our Savior. We see Peter in this connection, this special relationship with the Lord. We see him at Caesarea Philippi. Matthew 16 records it, how Peter confessed that the Lord Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. John records a similar confession in John chapter 6. Peter, it seems, as a spokesman for the group, confessed Christ to be who he was and received from the Lord Jesus this beatitude, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." He was an exceptional disciple in many ways, it seems. Some say he had foot and mouth disease because of the way he commonly said things out of place. At the Transfiguration, remember, he's the one who wanted to build three tents, three booths, one for Elijah, one for Moses, one for our Lord, and he heard the voice that spoke from heaven as it overshadowed in a cloud, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." He learned something there about the singularity and uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Peter. And here he's speaking about dying for Christ, but our Lord announces differently. "Peter, will you die for me? The cock will not crow before you've denied me three times." If we look at what Mark records of Peter's denial, I'd ask you to go back with me, please, to Mark chapter 14. Look with me there at what is stated. Mark 14 again, verses 17 and following. This is a little earlier before our Lord's prediction of Peter's betrayal, or Peter's denial. The Lord Jesus is speaking with his disciples, in fact, about the betrayal. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 17, the verses that follow, we read of our Lord, "And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man that he had never, if he had never been born." Here we see the Lord announcing that fact of betrayal, the prediction of one betraying among the 12, and the response of the disciples, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" Drop down with me, please, in verses 27 and following of Mark 14. "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he said the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And if you'll drop down with me to verse 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? And there's a little bit of the narrative of that night. The night of our Lord's betrayal, the night of our Lord's arrest. We see here, I believe, Peter. And as he exhibits a behavior that I believe sadly is much given for all of us, I believe we can learn from our brother. One thing that I would ask you to think with me about that I believe stands out about Peter that's true of us all, a warning that concerns the danger of self-reliance. Peter speaks here in these words of Mark 14, as we've seen in Luke 22 and also in John 13. Peter speaks of his readiness to go with the Lord Jesus to death. He speaks of his willingness to lay down his life for his Lord. Now, later, I believe by the grace of God he did that, but I would underscore by the grace of God he did that. As we read what we do in Mark 14, those verses 17 through 21, brothers and sisters, I believe Peter was on firmer ground when the Lord Jesus announced, "One of you will betray me." And Peter, along with the others, asked, "Is it I?" Peter was on firmer ground as he did that later when he was boldly saying, cockily saying, "I'll not die. I'll not betray you. I'll deny you. I'll die for you." I believe there's a message for us there. The message speaks of the danger of self-reliance. Peter realized, I believe, in himself when he asked those words that verse 19 of Mark 14 record, "Is it I?" Peter realized the capacity in himself to betray the Lord Jesus. And as long as he stood, I think, in that realization, that capacity, "I could betray the Lord as easily as whoever he may be speaking of," Peter stood on firmer ground than when he boldly said, I'll not deny you. I think it reminds us of something the hymn writer spoke of so well. "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own." I think about what Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 10, when he wrote to God's people. He spoke about the spiritual battle that is ours, how we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He says that in Ephesians 6, 12, you'll remember. The struggle that is ours is not with flesh and blood. Before Paul speaks of that struggle, that battle that we have, he reminds God's people in Ephesians 6, 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." What are you going to rest in, child of God? What am I going to rest in? As we face the nasty now and now, as one brother has called it, as we live in this world, seeking to glorify God, I trust, seeking to be an honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, what are we going to rest in? If we rest in the strength of the flesh, if we rely upon ourselves, we'll deny the Lord. We'll betray our trust. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Paul expressed it in another way, similarly though to Ephesians 6:10, when he spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, as he charges Timothy of the life that he's to lead, knowing that he, Paul, is soon to leave the scene, knowing, as he says in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, "The time of my departure is at hand. I am now ready to be offered." As Paul says that, he speaks to Timothy and he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus." What would we make our strength tonight? What would we rely upon? Too often, I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, we live our lives in Christ, not relying on Him, but relying on ourselves. We fail to realize that we need to rely upon the Lord's power, rely upon the Lord's strength, moment by moment, relying on His grace. I believe Peter becomes for us a warning of the danger of self-reliance, the fact that you and I, as God's people, we cannot trust the arm of flesh. Jeremiah stated it well. Would you turn back with me, please, to those words of Jeremiah 17? We see a blessing revealed here, but we also see a curse given. Jeremiah 17. In verse 5 of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Two ways presented there, as is so often true of the Word of God. Two ways. One, a way of curse. Another, the way of blessing. Notice, in the case of the way of cursing, the way of blessing, it all depends on where our trust is stayed, where our hope is. You and I who have come to know the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you and I have experienced the saving mercy of God. One thing that we learned when the Lord brought us to trust His Son was that salvation was found not by resting in ourselves, not by looking to our own merit, but rather by looking away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, by looking to Him as the object of faith. And yet it seems so often we have to learn that again and again, don't we? We've been taught it, but it seems in many cases, instances in life, we want to rely upon ourselves. We want to rely upon our own strength. We want to look to the arm of flesh. There's nothing to be found there in the way of safety, in the way of success, in the way of blessing. It's to be found by looking to God, by looking to our Lord. Peter here is relying upon himself, making some bold claims, some great statements, but they won't wash because I think he's failed to see himself. I fail to do that sometimes. Fail to see how I cannot lean upon myself at all. All my trust must be stayed in Him. May God grant us to see that and to learn that. If we go back to those words of the Gospels, may I ask you to turn with me, please, to Luke 22. And may we read together from Luke 22, verses 54 through 62. Luke 22, beginning at verse 54. This is after the arrest. We read, "Then took they him, that is our Lord, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." As we look at these words, I think we see another danger, one that I think has been often spoken of, but it is there within the words of Scripture. It's found there in the words of verse 54, the danger of following the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. Such is what Peter did. As they brought our Lord to the high priest's house, there for that first of several trials that our Lord endured, first of several interviews that he had to face before his crucifixion, Peter followed afar off. Now, we find from John's gospel that John and Peter were together, and it was because of John's friendship with the high priest's household that Peter was able to go in. But Peter kept the distance. Some have pointed out he warmed by the devil's fire. I believe there may be some accuracy to that. I don't know that he stayed with John throughout the whole of that time at Caiaphas' home. One thing we do know, the record is clear, he followed Jesus afar off. That's a dangerous thing to do. As the Lord's people, we need to stick close to Him. We need to follow Him closely. There's danger in not being near to Christ. Now, we learn that. In our lives, as we live, moment by moment, we need to be looking to Him. And in looking to Him, we need to follow Him more nearly, love Him more dearly, see Him more clearly. This episode here, as Peter follows afar off, reminds me of another episode, I think, in Peter's life that's equally familiar. Of course, it's when our Lord was walking on water. The narrative of the Gospel tells us that the Lord was just going to walk on by. I guess meet His disciples on the other side. He'd spoken about that. But because the disciples were frightened by our Lord's presence on the sea, I can't blame them, can you? Seeing a figure walking on the water, that would be a little bit disconcerting, to say the least. And as our Lord goes to join himself to the disciples, Peter asks, Lord, may I come? Lord, if it's you, bid me. And Peter, by faith, begins to walk on the water. I realize we often criticize Peter for the fact that he began to sink. But I think Peter's to be commended for the fact that he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. But the secret for Peter of walking was the fact that he kept his eyes on Christ. And I believe so it is with us, brothers and sisters. I believe that's in effect what happened here with Peter. By following afar off, his eyes weren't fixed on the Savior. The gaze turned to the crowd. The gaze turned to voices that would bring harm or injury. And that gaze taken away from Christ, only at the end of the narrative is the gaze fixed back on Christ, as our Lord cuts a glance toward Peter. Peter looks to him. I believe so when faith's gaze is taken away from Christ, you and I are in danger. I remember hearing a statement, Robert Murray McShane, that I think can highlight this danger for us. Brother McShane, who was a godly Scots Presbyterian pastor, he had a statement that was notable. He used to say, take one good look at yourself and 10,000 good looks at Christ. I like that. But he also said, I looked to Christ and the dove of peace flew into my heart. I looked at the dove of peace and the dove flew away. What was Mr. McShane emphasizing? I believe he was emphasizing a tendency that's all too common for all of us. We look to Christ and blessing abounds. But what tends to happen sometimes then? We tend to focus on the blessing then. Instead of keeping faith's gaze where faith's gaze belongs. Where does it belong? On Christ. I looked at Christ and joy came. I looked to Christ and peace came. I looked to Christ and life came. Hope came. But if I look at those things will diminish. Why? Because those things are only enjoyed. Those things only fill us as we keep our gaze on Christ. What are we to do then? I believe in the words of the writer of Hebrews as he admonishes his readers after that great roll call of faith in Hebrews 11. As he admonishes his readers, the words looking unto Jesus set for us the tone that is to be ours. Just as when we were saved by looking to Christ. The Christian life is lived no differently. The Christian life is lived in the same way and by the same manner, continuing to look to Christ, continuing to rest in Christ, continuing to believe on Christ, continuing to trust, continuing to come, as Brother Spurgeon liked to put it, with the empty hand of faith to a Lord who is rich toward his people, who's good to all who call upon him in truth. I believe Peter stands here as a warning for us of the fact that you and I should not follow the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. It's so easy to allow ourselves to be focused on other things. In the midst of a world that's busy, it's busy with a capital B-U-S-Y, isn't it? You and I need to, by grace, continue to keep faith's gaze on Christ and not follow him afar off. There's one further danger that I'd like to mention. I believe we see it in some measure here in these words of Luke 22. Let me read again verses 61 and 62. After the cock crew, we read in verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I believe those bitter tears in part came because Peter was overwhelmed by the depth of his sin. The promise that he had made, the confession, I'll not deny you, I'll die for you, I'm willing to go to death for you, Lord. I believe all of that overwhelmed him. And the gravity of his sin hit him full force. And I believe even after the Lord was raised, that was the case. In the Gospel of Mark, when the angel gives word of the Lord's resurrection, he says, go tell his disciples and Peter. We read in Luke 24 of how the Lord appeared to Simon. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 as well of how the Lord appeared to Peter, to Cephas, as he's called there in the narrative, his Aramaic name, the Aramaic form of Peter, rock or stone. And yet even then, it seems, as we read John 21, Peter still was at a point of not being fully where he had been with the Lord. And our Lord graciously restores him, we believe, in John 21. I believe, again, Peter was overwhelmed by the gravity, the depth of his sin as he denied the Lord in contrast to his claims. And I believe we see a danger here, brothers and sisters, that we should never let take us. That is the danger of overestimating our sin when compared to Christ's work. Even should we find ourselves fallen, even should we find ourselves having done sin that would be comparable to Peter's, one thing we should never do is think that our sin could outweigh the merit of Christ's blood and death. I'm afraid sometimes we think like that. When we sin, we look at our sin, and it's so large before us, it looms so big, that we somehow think, there's no way the Lord will forgive me. Now, I remind you, don't be like Peter there. The words of Psalm 130 that we mentioned with this morning, if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who should stand, are followed by a greater verse in that psalm. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The good news of the gospel tells us of how there is forgiveness, plenteous redemption, plenteous mercy in Jesus Christ. And no matter the depth of our sin, no matter the severity of it, no matter the gravity of it, we can be aware that the blood of Christ can cleanse to the uttermost. And may we never lose sight of that, brothers and sisters. Though we may have denied him, though we may have made great claims, I'll die for you, and yet three times denied him. One thing evident about Peter's sin is it wasn't something the Lord didn't know about, was it? The Lord had predicted it for Peter. The Lord had foretold that it would happen. The Lord, knowing it, still loved Peter, though. The Lord knowing it, as it says in John 13 of our Lord, before he washed his disciples' feet and announced those things about the betrayal, about the denial, and then was taken away to his death, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, that's not just good news for Peter. That's good news for David Morris. I can rejoice in a Savior like that. I can revel in a Savior whose love is so great, so deep, that He not only knows my sin, but He has done everything needful to make sure that I'm cleansed from them. And not only that, He will unrelentingly pursue, bringing me finally and fully to glory, so that I stand in His presence. Those sins which ensnared me and trapped me, I'll no longer have to deal with one day. Peter, by God's grace, was kept. And of course, he became a man much used of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to be careful in our lives that we follow Him, not afar off, that we, as His people, not rest on the arm of the flesh, as well, that we never overestimate our sin. When we've fallen into any sin at all, may we be quick to take it to our Lord, quick to carry it to Him. When I was a young believer, a brother gave me a Navigator packet, beginning with Christ. It had five verses in it, assurance verses. It included assurance of victory over temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, assurance of guidance, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, some grand Bible verses to guide a young believer's life. One of those verses was the assurance of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Peter had to learn that afresh. John writes there, He is faithful and just to forgive. Faithful? To forgive sin? Yes. For God would have to deny the work of His Son
not to forgive the sins of his people. Just to forgive sin, yes. For through the work of Christ, God is just as well as justifier of him who believes in Jesus. And Peter had to learn something of the freshness and the depth of God's grace as he was confronted and faced with the depth of his sin. May you and I rest on that bedrock. That bedrock, that foundation of God's grace and the gospel of his Son. And may it shape and mold our lives to the glory of God and to the honor of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. May we pray. Father, we ask you in the name of our Savior to forgive us our sins. As we think of Peter's sin, Father, we plead afresh for mercy for ourselves. And Father, we pray tonight that you might take our words. And Lord, particularly, that you might take your word and suit it, Father, to the good of each heart here. I pray, Father, that you might grant us to learn well from what we see in Peter here. A brother who, Lord, relied upon himself. Forgive us that we do that so often. Father, we pray that we would not follow our Savior afar off, but we'd constantly look unto him. We pray, Father, as well, we'd never overestimate our sin, but we'd remember that you are faithful and just to forgive as we confess. Thank you, Father, for the depth of your grace, for your mercy that is seen so freely in Jesus Christ our Lord and his finished work. Thank you for his shed blood tonight that is still the sinner's perfect plea. Saved sinners, unsaved sinners. Thank you, Father, for that. In his worthy name we pray. Amen.